And that brings us to at CSN Bags and Andy Baggerly down at Petco. Andy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Marty. Wait a second here. Now, weren't we just talking after the first road trip? Hey, is this slugging, bashing team the team we're going to see all year? So, you know how it goes. I talked to Hunter Pence last night after the game. Had a little one-on-one time with him, and he said, you know, I've never been on a team, never gone through a season that didn't have ups and downs, and so that's why, you know, I don't think anybody is panicking. And you heard the same thing from a lot of guys last night, which is, we're too good, we're too talented, we're going to come out of this. And, you know, I think that April sort of allows you to have that belief. If it's reinforced by another whole month of this, then you start to doubt. But, I think we saw them at their best, and now we're kind of seeing them at their worst.
Yeah, you get about 120 at-bats, 130 at-bats before you figure it out. But, you know, I do these shows. People call in and complain and all this stuff and point stuff out. And last night I realized, I said, we're so sensitive this time of year trying to figure out what kind of team you have that you take a small sample, really, of 7 or 8 games and say, uh-oh, this is what we've got for the year. I think we all fall into that.
Yeah, you know, and every game counts. And I think that you look at the circumstances. And the first game here, hey, Tyson Ross has got great stuff.
Yeah.
He really is a good pitcher. He's developing into one of the better pitchers in the National League. And I think the Padres are going to be happy to have him for a lot of years. And everything was moving, everything was running. But then, you know, last night, and Eric Stoltz, I mean, you know, no disrespect to Eric Stoltz, but he's a guy you're supposed to beat and you're supposed to hit, especially when you match up against Tim Hudson, who's pitching really well. And Hudson actually got quite a bit fortunate. He was very hittable and had a couple lineouts to end innings, including a lineout double play. And he was the first to tell you it could have been a lot worse for me. But, you know, the luck kind of went on both sides. The Padres hitting with some bad luck against Hudson, and the Giants just couldn't get anything going at all. And when it's against a pitcher that's not necessarily going to get some Cy Young votes, then it's sort of like, well, you know, this may be a game they regret not scratching out a little bit more and finding a way to win.
You know, you point out something interesting about Hudson, and I saw it last night. I mean, he was up in the strike zone last night. And I said this after the Colorado game when in the eighth inning when they left him in. And I said, maybe you get too greedy with him. Maybe he is 38 years old, and you just have to maybe say, all right, 6 or 7, that's plenty, and let's get you through these 32 starts. And because they're sort of turning him into like an ace, you know, 8 innings, Tim Hudson. And last night I saw for the first time, I said, you know something, he's not that sharp tonight. And I'm thinking maybe they're too greedy with him.
Well, I think one of the reasons they can pitch him deep into games is he's, you know, faced 100-some-odd batters and hasn't issued a walk. And so he's been pretty pitch efficient. It's not like they're sending him out for the eighth inning when he's already got 117 pitches on his odometer there. So, but you're right. They have to pace him just like everybody else. And the stuff was up. I mean, he was not sharp at all yesterday. The line score ended up being better than what his stuff was. And he ended up having one of the Giants' 4 hits, I believe, too. So, you need to find a way, whether your pitcher's getting lucky and putting up a good line score, or whether he's just flat out dominating like Matt Cain has the last couple of times. You just got to find a way to win those games and scratch up those runs. And right now they haven't driven in a base runner in 2 games. Their only 2 runs are on solo homers, and if it wasn't for Adrianza's hit off of Kenley Jansen and what became a 2-1 loss in the ninth, they would be working on 3 full games without driving in a base runner. So that's got to change.
All right, so how do you explain what's happening with them? And I see fastball pitchers and throw the ball past Posey. The bat looks slow. Sandoval is still off his front foot, and, you know, he's hitting at everything. Pagan, of course, he's not going to hit 390. He's slowed down a little bit. Blanco still doesn't figure out that if he put the ball on the ground, he may hit 310. What's going on with some of the players here? And let's start with Posey. Well, what's up with him this week?
Well, you know, I first thing I wanted to make a point in my little postgame story last night is, you know, that there's a lot of venom directed at Pablo. And I think that that's kind of the way it goes. There's always one or two guys, I think, that the fans pick out as Brian Sabin's even used the term whipping boy. I mean, I go back to like Armando Benitez. There's always somebody that the fans just hate. And I'll tell you, I'll be completely honest, it's a little disturbing that it's often a Latin guy, and that's something that's not gone unnoticed with me, whether it's Pedro Feliz or whoever. And I see Pablo falling into that role this year. You know, guys are, I think a lot of fans are willing to take it out on him. They're upset he either turned down the $40 million or he's going to be a free agent or that he's had the weight issues. And the point I wanted to make last night is, hey, if you think that the Giants' offensive problems are all Pablo Sandoval, then you're just not paying attention.
Right.
Because Buster Posey's in a 1-for-23. Hunter Pence, you know, I pointed out that Pablo has only driven in 4 base runners all year and has had the most base runners on base of anyone on the team. Well, Hunter Pence has had 41 base runners on base. He has driven in 2 of them.
Yeah.
And he's a guy who just signed a big contract. So, you know, is there pressure that you feel as an impending free agent to put up numbers? Sure, absolutely. I'm sure that Pablo is a little unnerved by this slow start for personal reasons. But you know what? If you're 100 pence and you just signed a 5-year, $90 million deal, is there pressure that you feel to live up to that contract? And we all know what a sort of responsible kind of guy Hunter is, and I asked him that last night point blank, and he said, yeah, you know what, there is that pressure there. I don't know if it explains what's going on right now, but yeah, I feel that pressure. And you know, whatever it's causing, whether it's a contract you've signed, a contract you're gonna sign, or whatever, you know, you're Buster Posey, you're the franchise guy, you just have to kind of find a way to put that aside and just have good at bats, take good swings, and build some group confidence. And you know, maybe it's going to take going to Coors Field, and that seems to be a place where they like to bust out. But it would all be in their best interest to try to figure it out a day early and solve Robbie Erlin today and get out of here without getting swept.
Yeah, Robbie Erlin, a kid from Northern California, Santa Cruz County Player of the Year. He pitched at Scotts Valley High School, and they're in for, you know, this. He's pitched well at the end of last year, and he's had a couple of starts this year. Do you know much about Erlin? Have you looked into him at all?
No, not as much as I know about Ross, and obviously we've seen Stultz a lot over the years. But I'll tell you what, the Padres, you know, they've got some pretty good pitching. Andrew Cashner is a guy whose stuff has pretty much got no peer in the National League, and he's finding out a way to harness it and be a little more efficient with it. And we're seeing some pretty dominant starts as a result. And Ross, we've already talked about. And, you know, these guys lost Josh Johnson. He's basically going to pay him $8 million to do arm exercises this year. But I don't think that's anywhere near as crippling a blow as for example, Patrick Corbin going down for Arizona. Because I think the Padres have more pitching coming in their system. They got Casey Kelly that they think a lot about. And he's on the latter stages of his Tommy John rehab from last year. So, you know, they've got more on the way. And I think the Padres are going to hang around. I think they're going to be a 500 team and maybe a little better. And when the season started, I think on paper, I looked at them as a fifth-place team. But they're a better team than Arizona now, that's for sure.
Andy Baggerly with us at CSN Bags with 2 G's. And I enjoyed your blog last night and quoted a lot on the postgame show, as always. Tiny Bonham, we learned something about him last night.
Yeah, you're awesome, Marty. I mean, I've never heard of the guy before, and here I get basically his whole bio in a tweet from you. So good on you for filling me in on Tiny, who is one of those guys who has an ironic nickname, huh?
Yeah, right. He was 6'2", 240, and he said, call me Jumbo, Tiny, call me anything you want, Ernie. Just as long as you call me. He's one of those, just, you know, call me late for dinner, just call me for dinner, one of those guys, you know.
Yeah.
Very good, interesting story about him. He's just a World Series hero for the Yankees and from Northern California and worked on the Oakland Docks and that kind of stuff. But in those days, if he walked two in a game, he was having a real rough game, and that was Tiny Bonham. So Hudson did tie that record. Andy, this division, I looked at the standings this morning. I'm watching Colorado getting some good pitching from Lyles and Chatwood, Nicasio today. Arizona's still a mess, but you point out San Diego is better, the Giants, the Dodgers. Is this division maybe closer than we thought?
Well, I think, one thing I thought even before the season started was I didn't see a team in the NL West that I thought would lose 90 games. And you could say that about some other teams in the National League, certainly the Mets, the Astros, the American League. You could see a lot of teams where it'd be really hard for them to contend. And I was just looking at the pitching staffs up and down the division, and I thought, you know what, there are going to be a lot of quality starts in this division. Now, that's before Chacin went down and Corbin went down and Johnson now, and every team has dealt with injuries. And gosh, the A's and Braves had some terrible injuries to their rotation, and they're pitching as well as anyone in baseball. So, you know, good for them for finding a way to soldier on. But, you know, I do think that the pitching depth in each of these five teams is pretty darn good, and it's a lot better than what you find in other divisions. I don't think the NL West is the best division in baseball, not by a long shot, probably not even the second or third best division. But I do think that, you know, the bottom tier of that division, you're going to get a good pitcher most days when you face those teams, and therefore they've got a chance to beat you. And so that's why I think this division is going to be pretty fierce. And I don't know if it's going to be five teams separated by five games when the year's over. I kind of doubt that's going to happen. But, I do think there aren't going to be a lot of pushover games in the NL within this division because I think the pitching's pretty good.
Yeah, that's what we're seeing. And, you know, I always like to look and see, what did I learn in the first 18 games? That may be it. That just what you said, there are no pushover games and the pitching is pretty good, and maybe this division is going to be a little tighter than we thought. So we learn as we do something every day, and we learned today there'll be no Sandoval in the lineup. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, you know, he hasn't had a day off, and Bruce Bochy thought he was really pressing yesterday in his at-bats, so he just wants to give him a mental break and recharge. And maybe he would have even done that earlier in the series, but he really wanted to get Buster the day off. On Friday, it was going to have Buster rest one game in this series and decided, well, let's do that right away on Friday because he just caught the day game after the night game in L.A., took a foul tip, had a hard slide, got beat up a little bit. So you're not going to rest Pablo on a day. You're also resting Posey. And then yesterday, he had such great numbers against Stultz that he had to play him and obviously didn't work out. So I think when you saw the at-bats really didn't get any better against a pitcher he's had a lot of success off of and a ballpark he likes hitting in, then you sort of think, okay, well, we couldn't get him clicking the first two games, so let's give him this third one off. And I think that's probably the right way to go.
So you think Arias and Hicks today in the infield, second and third, or vice versa?
Probably a good chance. Yeah, Arias really stung the ball. He hit the ball hard twice yesterday, and so I think he's probably going to be back in there. And I would imagine they would go with Hicks over a right-handed Adrianza with the lefty on the mound.
Oh, great. Hey, Andy, thanks so much. Have a good day. I'll follow you absolutely during the game, and always a pleasure to talk to you.
Same here, Marty. Thanks a lot.
All right, that is Andy Baggerly at CSN Bags with two Gs. I follow him every game, and it's always a lot of fun to tweet back and forth with him.